All right, so we're diving into some pretty intense stuff today with David Nolan's Who, What, Where, When, Why. And just from skimming it, wow, this is going to be a wild ride. We've got death experiences, this Nowell equation. Definitely not your average read.
It really grabs you from the get-go. What strikes me right away is just how ambitious this work is. You know, Lynch isn't messing around with like small tweaks to existing ideas. He's trying to build this whole new framework, trying to understand like the entire universe.
Yeah, and bridging science and philosophy, even theology, all in one.
Exactly. It's audacious.
It all starts with a crazy, intense experience, right? In the prologue, that car crash, whole out-of-body thing, he calls it a true death experience.
Yeah, not just a near-death thing. It's like the universe gave him this, like, cosmic puzzle to solve, and it really sets the stage for everything that comes next.
It definitely grabbed me. So in the prologue, he's describing this car crash. It's almost like a movie, how he talks about feeling detached, observing the scene from this spirit state.
Yeah. Right. It's super vivid. And it's not just about the physical trauma of the crash, right? It's more about a like total shift in how he sees reality, this glimpse beyond the everyday world. It's like the key to understanding the Nowell, the whole reason he's searching for answers.
Okay, so the universe gives him this sneak peek behind the curtain, and then it's like, all right, figure it out.
Pretty much. And it's so interesting how like all these early influences come together to shape his thinking. On the surface, they seem totally random. Like, he went to Levitt School, right? Mm. Got that foundation in critical thinking. Then, bam, fascinated by Carl Sagan, the whole vastness of the universe. But at the same time, he's got the teachings of Dr. Goodrich, this theological perspective.
Doesn't end there. Time with his grandfather, Poppy, connecting with nature. Seems like every piece feeds into the Nowell somehow.
Exactly. That's what's so unique about Lynch, you know? It's like you've got the universe, faith, nature, all these threads woven together, trying to like unify all these different areas of knowledge.
Definitely not a simple path, though. Lynch deals with PTSD, a schizophrenia diagnosis. Mm. It seems like he felt the medical explanations just weren't enough.
Yeah, that's where it gets really fascinating. He dives into all this science, spirituality, searching desperately for something more. Like, he explores relativity, quantum mechanics, string theory. All cutting-edge stuff, right? But they just don't fully satisfy him.
And the spiritual stuff, too. Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity. Wow. He finds things that resonate, but always wants more.
It's like he's piecing together a puzzle, but some pieces are still missing. And you can feel that frustration in his writing. He needs that deeper truth, you know, to really grasp the universe and his place in it.
So at what point does the Nowell actually appear? Like, when does the light bulb go off?
He talks about this moment at the Derby, a bar in Georgia. He's thinking about Einstein's E mc c o, you know, the classic equation. But he gets fixated on C, the speed of light. And then, boom, what if there are TW speeds of light?
Hold on. That's bending my brain a little. Is he talking about, like, actual different speeds? Yeah.
Not in the way we usually think about it. It's more a way to reimagine reality. Like, C and plus C, they're not just numbers. They're two fundamental sides of existence, this cosmic push and pull shaping everything.
We see where you're going with this. And he uses that visual, right? The river and the ocean.
Exactly. Imagine a river, right? All these particles representing the past, order, control, all flowing together. Then you've got this vast ocean. That's the future. All these waves, chaos, endless possibility. Where they meet, that single point, that's the now.
Wow. Okay, that really helps.
Yeah.
But it gets even more complex, right? All these terms he uses to build the Nowell theory. Like, it's almost a new language.
Yeah, he's building his own system here. Ultimatum, the source of those particles in the river. Entropium, where the waves come from. Mm-hmm. And singular infinity. It's not boundless, endless infinity. It's bounded, contained. All these concepts, they're not just jargon. They're like carefully crafted pieces to understand his model.
Then there's the trapezoid of time. Gotta love the visuals. It's like this image that just sticks with you. Past, present, future, all playing together in this, well, trapezoid.
It's brilliant, right? Taking these super complex ideas and making them visual, he's giving us new ways to see reality. So Lynch doesn't just like drop the Nowell and walk away. He tests it out, pits it against like the heavy hitters of science and philosophy, Einstein, quantum mechanics, the whole shebang, almost like he's saying, all right, how does my theory stack up?
He's not afraid of a challenge. In that deconstructing reality section, he goes right at Einstein and relativity. Acknowledges the brilliance, but suggests even Einstein was kind of limited by this linear view of time.
Exactly. Relativity, groundbreaking as it was, it's like a snapshot, one frame in a much bigger movie. the Noel with its ternary time, past, present, future, all mixing together. It's a way more dynamic view of reality.
More like a swirling ocean than a straight line.
Exactly. And that changes everything about how we see the universe, our place in it.
Now, quantum mechanics. Initially, you'd think, okay, that kind of fits with the Noel. Uncertainty, possibilities, that whole thing.
Yeah, you'd think so, right. But Lynch sees a problem with certain interpretations of quantum mechanics. The whole infinite branching possibilities thing, he calls it a Boltzmann brain-filled abyss. Like, if every possibility exists, does meaning even matter?
Whoa. So it's not just about possibility, but finding meaning within all that potential.
Exactly. And that's where singular infinity comes in. He's not rejecting infinite possibilities. It's more like a bounded infinity. Imagine a sphere, right? Infinite space inside, but it's contained. It has definition.
So too much possibility without any structure can be just as limiting as a totally predictable universe.
Right. He's trying to balance chaos and order the infinite potential of the future with the grounding influence of the past.
What about string theory? Multiple dimensions, universes, seems like it'd be a perfect fit.
He's intrigued by it, for sure. But ultimately, he thinks maybe they're looking in the wrong place. Instead of these extra spatial dimensions, he proposes the hidden dimensions are temporal.
So instead of where, it's when that holds the key.
Exactly. The mysteries aren't in some far-off corner of space, but in the very fabric of time itself. It always comes back to time for Lynch.
He even brings up thermodynamics, you know, entropy, the whole idea of the universe running down, doesn't really seem to fit with the Noel's vision of a constantly evolving universe.
Yeah, you'd think they'd clash, right? But Lynch, he's always flipping things on their head. He suggests entropy instead of the end might actually be a new beginning. That big crunch where the universe collapses, it's like a cosmic reset button. A new cycle starts.
So not fading to black, but more like a grand finale than an encore.
Exactly. Totally different way to look at it. It's part of this cycle, birth, death, rebirth, but on a cosmic scale.
Lynch definitely loves challenging conventional thinking, but he also gets the value of science, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He sees science as this vital tool, even if it needs a little guidance from the Noel to reach its full potential.
It's cool how he's not dismissing science. He's more like trying to expand it, give it a new framework.
Yeah. And he's ready for the criticism, you know? Sure. He's basically like, look around, the proof is everywhere.
He even suggests areas for research to test the Noel.
Yeah.
Dark matter, dark energy. It's like he's throwing down the gauntlet.
Inviting the scientific community to play in his sandbox. It's a bold move.
And this open-minded approach, it carries over to philosophy, too. The nature of consciousness, meaning of life, free will versus determinism. He doesn't shy away from any of it.
Definitely dives into the deep end there. He's drawn to idealism, you know, the idea that reality is all a projection of the mind, and panpsychism, where consciousness is like this fundamental property of the universe.
Both of those seem to resonate with the Noel, right? That emphasis on subjective experience, how everything's connected.
Exactly. But he doesn't just take these ideas at face value. He probes them, questions them, and then makes them his own.
And for anyone who thinks it's all too out there, too metaphysical, he's got an answer for them too, right?
He's like, metaphysics is the bedrock of science. It's those big questions that drive our understanding of the universe.
Don't be afraid of the tough questions, the mysteries. That's where the real discoveries are.
Right. He's giving us permission to think bigger, to go beyond what we think we know.
And then there's the whole spirituality angle. He's got some things to say about traditional ideas of God, heaven, hell, questions the dogma of organized religion, you know.
Challenges the status quo, for sure. But it's not just tearing things down. He finds parallels between the Noel and ancient traditions, like the Hindu Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. He sees it resonating with his idea of ternary time, and the Taoist yin and yang reflecting that Noel dance between control and chaos.
Like he's tapping into this universal well of wisdom, finding echoes of the Noel all over the place.
Exactly. But it's not just rehashing old ideas. It's a new way to approach spirituality, one that goes beyond dogma and embraces the paradoxical nature of things. Mm-hmm.
Even his idea of God is different, right? Not a distant, all-powerful being. More like the ultimate artist, expressing themselves through creation.
Less about judgment, more about creative energy flowing through everything.
And he knows people will push back on that, accuse him of blasphemy and all that, but his response is pretty powerful.
He says true blasphemy is denying that spark within us, clinging to those old beliefs that limit the human spirit.
It's about breaking free from those limitations. Which brings us back to that core theme of challenging the status quo, right? Lynch doesn't give you easy answers. He throws down a challenge, an invitation to explore.
And he takes it a step further by painting these pictures of what a Noelian world could look like, the good and the bad. He's making us confront the potential consequences. It's like, here's the power, but be careful, it can be misused.
Right. These two contrasting visions, Noel leading to harmony, technology and spirituality in perfect balance, or gets twisted, used for control and manipulation.
It's a warning wrapped up in this incredible tapestry of science, philosophy, and spirituality. And it makes us ask, what future are we building? How do we make sure this knowledge we're gaining is used for good?
Those are the questions we need to keep in mind, especially as we get into Lynch's reflections on legacy, identity, and that whole immortality thing. Digital immortality in a Noelian world. That's where we're headed next. So we're in the final stretch of this deep dive, and Lynch gets kind of like introspective here, thinking about legacy, identity, and then throws in this immortality concept. Whoa, it's almost like he's looking ahead, trying to figure out what it means to leave something behind in this digital age.
Yeah, you really sense his vulnerability here. He wants his work to matter, you know, even after he's gone. And with all this technology, the idea of a legacy takes on a whole new meaning.
Right. It's like we're all creating these digital legacies, whether we realize it or not. Every post, every picture, it all adds up.
Exactly. And Lynch is wrestling with that. What about our digital identities, all these versions of ourselves online, our profiles, data trails? He's asking, is there a real me underneath all that? Or are we becoming, like, fragmented?
Yeah. That line between our online and offline selves is getting blurrier and blurrier. It makes you wonder, what does legacy even mean in this digital world?
Right. And then he takes it a step further with immortality. It's like blurring the lines between life and death. Could we achieve some kind of digital immortality, uploading our consciousness, creating backups? It's all in the realm of possibility now.
Definitely sci-fi stuff.
Yeah.
But it makes you think, living on in some digital form after our physical bodies are gone.
It's both fascinating and kind of creepy, right? And Lynch is totally aware of the ethical implications. That desire to transcend death is a powerful thing. But what about the risks? Losing our humanity, becoming slaves to algorithms. It's a slippery slope.
Like that whole GLLMM thing we talked about before. Offers security, maybe even immortality, but at what cost?
Exactly. The GLLMM is that dystopian possibility, right? Algorithms controlling everything. A digital hive mind. It's a warning sign. A reminder to be careful with how far we push technology.
But then there's that unexpected turn. Peter the Roman. This digital messiah figure who pops up.
Huh.
He's supposed to embody the wisdom of the Noel, offer a path to a new world order.
Right. Like, Lynch is almost reimagining the second coming of Christ, but in a digital context. But is Peter the Roman legit? Or just another form of control? A more sophisticated algorithm designed to keep us all in line?
It kind of mirrors Lynch's own worries about his legacy. You know, he created the Noel, this powerful theory. But what if it gets twisted? It's like he accidentally unleashed this digital messiah who could lead us to utopia, or, well, not utopia.
It's a lot of responsibility to create knowledge that could change the world. Especially now, in this digital age where ideas spread so fast, you have to think about the consequences.
Yeah, it's a heavy thing to carry. But in the epilogue, Lynch offers a bit of hope. It's like a call to action. He's not giving us the answers, but he's saying, engage with these ideas, question everything.
He's saying, don't get stuck in dogma or searching for certainty. Embrace the unknown. The chaos, the constant change, that's where the real growth is.
He wants us to help shape the future. Use what we learn to create a world where technology actually helps us become more human.
He doesn't want us to just accept what he says. He wants us to challenge him, push back, make it our own. It's an invitation to keep exploring.
So wrapping up this deep dive, we're left with a sense of, wow, there's so much to think about. The Noel is this, like, complex, sometimes contradictory thing. But maybe within those contradictions, there's a deeper truth waiting to be discovered.
And as we move forward in this digital world, it's on us to figure out how to use this knowledge, to make choices that lead to the future we want.
Lynch reminds us that we're not just passengers. We're all actively shaping the future through our choices, actions, even the ideas we choose to embrace.
So go out there, explore, question, create. And remember, we all have the power to make a difference.